The Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Yes, we're going to start off this week with finding out how you can shatter your speed limits. No, we're not talking about an automobile. We're not talking about anything of that nature. We're talking about you, your prosperity, what you can do to make your life different. And we are going to be finding out how that's going to be possible from Wendy Lipton Dibner. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Donna, thank you. I am so thrilled to be here with you.
I really enjoyed this book. One, I liked the way you laid out the story about the cafe and the people meeting in it. But two, Wendy, there is some very, very practical, down-to-earth information here. And I want my audience to know a little bit about you. You're the president of Professional Impact, Inc. You really like to help people move towards whatever area of accomplishment they want to achieve. And you're a speaker. This is, you know, you've already written three other books. You really, really want to see people move forward wherever they might be. And here we are in an economy today. Most people, if you ask them about it, I did a women's show this past weekend, and it was fascinating to see people's responses and reactions. They said, oh, finances are down, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And I know these people are good people, and they're trying so hard, Wendy.
Right.
What inspired you? I mean, you've been involved with this, but why did Shatter Your Speed Limits? How and why did this book come about?
Don, it's such a great question, and thank you so much for saying that you like the book. That, you know, every time I hear that, it doesn't matter how many times I hear it, it's, you know, the sort of the little kid in me says, oh, yay, somebody likes it. I think we all want to have moments in our lives when we know that we're doing the right thing, that we're helping people or that we're successful. And in an economy like ours, this is a time when I'm meeting more and more people who are questioning their own worth, not
right.
just as professionals, but as individuals, because they don't have the feedback. They don't have the paycheck that says, oh, hey, somebody thinks I'm worth something.
Mm-hmm.
And so now more than ever is the time when those of us who can help really need to step up to the plate and say, okay, we're here, we're going to help you through this time, and we're going to help you come out the other side better than how you started.
Well, I agree with you, and I think for entrepreneurs, it is especially challenging. Like I said, I was at a women's show for 3 days here in the Seattle area, and there was such a sense among certain ones, not everybody, but among certain people, oh, my goodness, is this really worth the investment? Is this really going to turn around and help me? Well, that's really a general attitude that most people have whenever they participate in an event like this. But it also is a carryover, because here in the state of Washington, we have such a high level of unemployment. Businesses are suffering tremendously.
Right.
And we've had a number of businesses that have left the state because of taxation and this type of thing.
Right.
So when you have this kind of an environment and those stalwart souls that are staying and saying, by God, I'm going to stay right where I am, regardless, but their hearts are just absolutely scared.
Yeah, and I think it's especially hard for parents these days, you know, because their kids are looking to their parents not only to keep them safe, but as role models, and the parents don't want to scare the kids. It's a very difficult time, and many, many of my friends are experts. They're in the expert space. They're entrepreneurs. They're out there making a difference, and we get together in Mastermind and say, you know, how do we make sure that we are doing the best that we can for our clients? And the answer is absolutely help everyone out there to identify how they could end up stopping themselves from making the most of every opportunity, from being the best that they can be, especially at a time when most people are negative and down. Now is the time to bring out your energy. And Donna, I love what you do, because that's exactly what you're helping people with day after day.
That's my purpose of this show.
Yeah.
I'm going into 10 years of doing it, and I'll tell you what. It inspires me, but it also inspires others. Now, let's talk about these characters that are in the book, Shatter Your Speed Limits.
Yeah.
Your subtitle to the book is Fast Track Your Success and Get What You Truly Want in Business and in Life. Now, many of the people that are listening are going to say, oh, good Lord, is this somebody else that's coming along and say, oh, you take this magic whatever and you're going to have instantaneous success. In 30 seconds, all you need to do is take certain pills, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, that may work in some respects, but for most people, it doesn't. It's just like following a food program when you want to trim down. You have to look at the facts, and you have to understand certain things with a clarity. So let's get down to bare bones. You have four characters: David, Ted, Lisa, and Mimi. I love Mimi's. I just love the name. I could just see, you know, this vivacious personality. These are individuals that are getting together in a cafe. And again, I really like this setting. And they're doing what you say you do with your other friends, and that is brainstorm.
That's right.
So let's talk about how you got this concept for this. Did you copy your own life? Is that what you've done?
No, not at all. In fact, the four people, Ted, Lisa, David, and Chelsea, meet in while serving as volunteers in a nonprofit organization.
Okay.
They come from very different lives, very different businesses, but how they meet is in service of others. And that was, for me, a very profound moment, because I've made a decision in the last couple of years to better serve nonprofits. And so one of the reasons that I said it there is because I really wanted to be sure that we start spotlighting all of the organizations that are out there working to help people that most of us, thank God, will frankly never meet. You know, we will never know the hardships that all of these nonprofits help and deal with and serve. And so that was one thing that I wanted to do. After they have their meeting, then these four characters go for coffee. And how many times do all of us, you know, go to a meeting and then go out for a bite or a drink afterwards? And that scene is very familiar for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to place this in an environment that we could all relate to. But the four people are actually composites of my clients. They're very real people, but they're composites.
Great. Chelsea has a wonderful question. She said, how can two people who are so willing to help others be so totally lousy at helping themselves?
Right.
Now, I can say that, you know, I could say a statement like that to someone, and I'd have to have, if I'm pointing a finger at someone else, all five would have to be pointing back at myself. Because
sure.
There are various times in my life where that has been absolutely the truth. We all go through that, where we might be able to help somebody else and not help ourselves. Let's address that for a moment.
I think that that's a very familiar theme for all of us, that we're willing to look and to trust our own expertise in helping other people, but not in helping ourselves. And that comes, I think, from long ago, from all of us learning and being taught that we need to believe that the grown-ups have better answers than we do. So we end up being grown-ups for all of the kids in our lives. So when it comes to ourselves, when we're scared, when we're vulnerable, when we don't know what to do next, we feel like we're a little kid. We don't feel like a grown-up person. And I find that this is true. You know, many of my clients are physicians and dentists, and the old adage of doctor heal thyself is alive and well, where physicians will take care of their patients, but if they take their own blood pressure, they're spiking high. This is again, a common theme, Donna, that we all need to address, that we know more than we think we know. and we need to turn it on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. Now, one of your characters, Lisa, I love this because she has a major weight problem.
Sure.
And each of these characters have their issues. David is someone who is in business, and he's got his agendas. Chelsea has her agendas. And then there's this very special guy, Ted, that is someone that does the unthinkable. He just totally disassociates from what he doesn't want and goes for what he really wants. With each of your chapters, you have a specific concept that you want to address. One is distinguishing threats from opportunities. And I think that that is what we've sort of been talking about, using different words. Threats. It's scary. The world always has been a tough proposition. It always has been that way. I don't know of any generation that hasn't had its challenges, and we certainly are having ours now.
Right.
But let's address the threats. How can we acknowledge those threats, look them straight in the eye, and take out our own bazookas of type and blow it to the moon?
Well, you know, I mean, it's not new to talk about, you know, don't look at it as a problem, look at it as a challenge, this kind of stuff. And so I'm really glad you brought this up, Donna, because the distinction that I want people to make when I coach them is to say, look, if you're seeing a problem and you're seeing it as a threat, then what happens is you get scared. And how you use that fear will determine your outcome. So people tell me, well, I don't want to feel afraid because it paralyzes me and it keeps me from moving forward. And what I hope that everyone who's listening will remember is your fear is actually a tool. It's telling you that there's a problem. And if you stop listening to all of the motivational gurus that say, you know, well, and it's not a problem, you know what? It is a problem. So now, how will you solve it? If you're too busy thinking about, I shouldn't be afraid, you can't focus your attention on how can I use my fear to say, all right, this is a problem. What am I going to do with it? And how can I then turn this moment in my life into an opportunity for something better? It begins by using our fear.
Ted, one of your characters, as I said a moment ago, ends up going off, has a yacht. His wife and children are living the life of Riley. And when he's communicating with this group that meets in the cafe, of course, they're mentally drooling with envy. How could he do this? Because he went and made a 180-degree shift. And you have some wonderful, wonderful statements by Ted, and there's a communication that goes on. But part of this leads into one of the lessons that's given in your book, when experts speak, take notes. Good Lord, how many notes have we taken and experts have spoken? How many books have we read, experts have written, and we've made all kinds of notes, and we're still in the duh phase.
Right. Right. It's so true. You know, I know that I have invested hundreds of thousands of dollars throughout my career in finding the next expert and the next guru and learning, and the books lined my shelves, and I read all of them. I mean, I'm one of those people who actually read the books that I purchased.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it took me a while to wake up and realize, okay, just because I've read it doesn't mean I'm wiser. I have to actually listen to what I'm being told and find a way to fit it into my life and use it. Mm-hmm. That's when suddenly we have to take notes and pay attention and say, okay, so maybe not everything this expert says fits for me in my life, but there must be something that this person knows that I can turn around and use to make a difference for myself, for my family, for my colleagues, in my life, to make this world a better place.
Desire plus resources plus permission equals action. Explain that.
Okay. I have had the great privilege of working with a lot of different people in their goals, and every single person has a different challenge to face in achieving their goals. And over doing this for 30 years, I began to see a pattern that there really are only three things we ever need to do in order to assure that we will not only achieve our goals, but that we will achieve them faster than we might have otherwise done. The first is desire. We have to want something badly enough to do what it takes to get it. Now, knowing your why is a concept that has been talked about for a very long time. But what I have found when I coach with people is that nearly all of them had not delved deep enough to discover what their real bottom line is, the real reason for going after a goal. So what would happen is, at the point that the going got tough, they would lose momentum. So that's the first piece. The second piece is resources. Donna, we all know that we have to have things in order to be able to take action. But here
right.
again, most people focus only on the resources that they need and what they don't have. And they begin to panic over the things they don't have without, they never take the time to stop and take stock of the assets and resources that are sitting right there in front of them that they've never realized could help them get their goals accomplished. The third piece is permission. Most people tell me that they think this is the hardest part for them, but frankly, it's no different than the first two. Permission is that we have to be willing to literally give ourselves permission, in other words, to say it's okay, that it's okay to change, that we're willing to do whatever we have to do to achieve our goals and live with the consequences of our failure or our successes. It's willingness to change and to live with those consequences that stops most people. But when you know what you want, you know how to make it happen, and you're willing to change, you get what you need every single time.
Give us an example of a client or even in your own life how these principles have been applied and what the results were.
I think one of the most common examples is weight loss, because that's something that nearly everyone has battled at one point or another. So let's use that as a great example. I know I've battled weight loss for most of my life until I began to realize that at different times in my life, I had different pieces of the action formula getting in my way. For example, there were times when I just didn't have the desire. My reason for staying trim and healthy just wasn't enough to overcome my desire for something I might want to eat or for not exercising. I didn't have a good enough reason. But then there were other times when I really wanted it more than anything in the world, but I didn't have the resources to make it happen. By that I mean, I had some health issues that made it impossible to exercise. Mm-hmm. Then there were times when I wanted it more than anything and I was exercising and everything was great, but I had a permission barrier. I really didn't want to like how I looked, because if I did, then that was going to mean that I was going to have to put myself back out on the dating scene, and it was scary out there. So I'm 53, and all through, ever since I was 13 until I was about 45 when I finally figured all this out, I would battle that up and down yo-yo. When I finally got my action formula figured out, I've been where I wanted to be ever since.
Finding resources. This is frequently a challenge. And
yes.
I can say as an individual myself, I know there's a gazillion resources out there, but many times there was, in my own personal experience, an apprehension about asking those people who might have the resources or putting the word out there that I was seeking it to actually be able to utilize them.
Yes.
We often self-sabotage. Boy, I'd raise both hands on that one. I mean, that's, the honesty really is the best policy.
Right.
And it's something that I have gone through so many various times in my life, and I know many of my listeners are saying, oh, please, do I have to admit to that? It's okay. We need to understand this. We might be afraid that somebody's going to look at us and say, you have got to be kidding. I'm going to be offering to help you. Forget it. We don't like to be rejected. How would you address this to someone that maybe is shaking in their boots right now saying, oh, I don't have anything to work with. What could we share with them?
Okay, you're actually asking two different questions. So let's identify them, and then I'll answer them both.
Good.
One is, how do we help them identify the resources and go for it? And number two is, how do we help them get out of that self-sabotage place?
Yes, that's a biggie.
Yeah. So the first piece is the resources, and that actually I'm gonna shortcut this by telling you that I have a special gift for your listeners, which is a worksheet that's going to give them all the questions they need to ask without even having to buy the book.
Oh, so, my goodness. Okay.
So this is a free thing that I want to make sure everybody gets. And so if it's okay, I'm going to go ahead and tell you about that really quickly.
Sure. Go right ahead.
And that way everybody will know the questions to ask, and I can talk through it from there. On my website at shatteryourspeedlimits.com, if you go there and then put a slash at the end of that URL and type in the word worksheet, W-O-R-K-S-H-E-E-T, then you will have immediate access. You just have to put in your email so we know where to mail it. And that will give you the worksheet with all the questions to ask yourself so that you can discover your desire, your resources, and your permission barriers. So that said, again, it's shatteryourspeedlimits.com/worksheet. So knowing you're going to have the questions, now I can address this at a slightly higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Resources are everything you need. So the first thing to do is to understand, what does that mean? Skills, health, knowledge, experience, money, your body, the people in your life, the people who you want in your life, the connections that you've made, every piece of machinery, every book, everything you currently own, from your car to your bicycle, is a resource. So the question becomes, number one, what does it really take? What do you really need to have and do so that you will be able to take effective action to get what you want? And the trick is to make a list of those things. And then you begin to start to work through the worksheet that I provided for you, and you'll see, fine, so I know what I need. How do I get those things? Who do I need in my life? Who are the resources I need to bring into my life? Who do I already know who can help me with this? What do I need to do? And every time you start to list these things, you start to pay attention to yourself. And you say, okay, well, that one's a little scary. I don't know if I want to do that one. Circle it. Anything that makes you say, oh, I could never do that. I just could never do that. Or, you know what, I've done that before and it doesn't work. And anytime you get into that whole negative self-talk thing, just circle it. Because what that's telling you is it's a permission barrier. And we'll deal with that in a second. So the most important thing with resources, Donna, is to just make sure it all gets laid out. So do you have any questions about that before we flip gears and go to permission?
Nope. Let's go to permission.
Cool. So permission is all about self-sabotage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are shortcuts and long cuts. The long cut is to say, well, why don't I want to do this? And to start asking yourself why puts you in a position of having to defend yourself. And when you get into that place, you are constantly going to get mad at yourself. Ultimately, you could even get depressed. But the most important thing is you'll stop thinking about it. So the first thing I'm going to invite all of your listeners to do, Donna, is to never question yourself that way. If you don't want to do something, there's a really good reason. Now let's find out what the reason is, and let's make sure that you get that path cleared up. Now, what would cause someone to be uncomfortable taking action, 99 times out of 100, is because they have had some kind of experience in their life that didn't go the way they would have wanted it to go, and so they created a rule to make sure that they would never experience that discomfort again. And shattering your speed limits is about finding out what was that rule, and realizing that although that rule served you back then,
mm-hmm.
it's getting in your way now.
right? Let's talk about the crew. We okay. all know how important it is. I know we've only got a few minutes here. So with the crew,
yes.
it's those that are going to support us. But you have particular classifications. You have the actor, the critic, the analyst, the cheerleader, and the force.
Yes.
Let's go into that a little bit.
I believe from all of my clinical experience and from all of my personal life that each of us has inside of us five what I love to refer to as teeny people. This is a metaphor. I'm not really crazy. But I do believe that each of us carry our experiences around with us to the point that we hear these voices in our heads. And those voices represent what I refer to as the five teeny people who are the members of your internal crew. And our job is to get that crew aligned and working together. And where most people go wrong is they try and shut down the critical voices and the negative voices, and they say, okay, I'm just not going to listen to you. So here's the last message that I would want to send out to everybody, which is you've got to listen to these voices. They are trying to tell you something. And when you get all of the members of your internal crew talking and working together, what you get is a synergy that allows you to then come out of the place that you're in, and everybody works together in your head to get you where you need to go. Understand, every single voice in your head is telling you something for a reason, and if you listen to it and use it effectively, it may just be telling you, well, this is the rule I need to change, or it may be telling you, hey, this is the real reason I need this, or it may be telling you, hey, this is how you do it. Every voice has a purpose. And if you listen and work with your voices, they will get you where you need to go faster than you ever thought possible.
In Wendy's book, Shatter Your Speed Limits, there are some wonderful examples. Ted, the character that is influenced so strongly, David and the others that meet at the cafe, there is an experience that he has, and he affects David's life dramatically, and there are some very good twists in this story that I think you would find fascinating. But Wendy has been very practical. She's very down to earth. Her website has all kinds of free resources that you can access so that you can see things shift in a way that is going to be very effective for you. It's a powerful book. It's not that thick a book. And I would say have a highlighter when you go through it. Write in it. Use it. You can, she says, increase your revenues exponentially in 30 days. Not just motivate yourself, but also others. You can reinvent your business if you have one, and also your life by using her tools, and there's much, much more. Wendy, your website is shatteryourspeedlimits.com.
Yes.
If they go there and then also put in shatteryourspeedlimits.com/worksheet, then they're actually going to be able to get that worksheet from
yes.
you as well. This is absolutely wonderful. As we're closing this out today, Wendy, what would you like to leave in the way of thoughts for my listeners?
Oh, thank you, Donna. First, I want to thank you again for having me on the show. I so enjoyed being with you and for your listeners and for you. I would ask you to please remember that life is very short, and no matter what may be happening today or tomorrow, we all need to make one firm decision, and that is to never, ever settle for less than you truly want in your business or your life.
I think that is marvelous. I think that's a great message to give in today's world where there are so many people saying, just look at the mess we're in. There's not too much you can do about it. Wait until these ding-dongs that are in these positions that supposedly know what they're doing, that obviously don't. Wait until they get their act together. No, it's time to get our act together. It is time to get on the platform of our own awareness of how we as individuals can make a difference. But we first have to start with ourselves.
Yes.
And that is a big step. Wendy Lipton Dibner, thank you very much for being my guest today. Your book, Shatter Your Speed Limits, is an excellently done publication, and I know it would benefit anybody that would take time to really read it and work with the suggestions that you have in there. Thank you again.
Thank you, Donna.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. More good things to come. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome. And telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call in and chat with me today, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The telephone number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And for those of you who might be listening to this broadcast for the first time, that's a worldwide toll-free number. Also, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then just sit back, relax, let me just tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that might be on your mind. I'm going to take this opportunity to thank the wonderful staff at the Pacific Northwest Women's Show. They just did an awesome job. This was a marvelous event. The Women's Forum was extremely successful, and I so appreciate all of the wonderful ladies who participated in this activity and brought their knowledge and expertise to the listening audience that was there. It was absolutely marvelous. It's just such an intense 3 days, and it's wonderful. I also want to let those of you in the Pacific Northwest know that I am going to be at the Emerald Spiral Expo, which is on March 26th, and that's going to be held at the Kent Commons in Kent, Washington. So if you'd like more details about that, go to emeraldspiral.com, emeraldspiral.com, and they'll have a listing of the events and the activities that are going to be taking place that day. It is absolutely marvelous. I just think that these are just tremendous events, and again, I'm very, very pleased to participate in them. I wanted to share a quote with you today, and it's by Harry Emerson Fosdick. He said, "No horse gets anywhere until he's harnessed. No steam or gas ever drives anything until it's confined. No Niagara is ever turned into light and power until it is tunneled. And no life ever grows great until it is focused, dedicated, and disciplined." Those are words of wisdom that apply to anyone at any time in life's experience. And in our challenging world, with the advancement of technology, it is absolutely phenomenal what is evolving And at the same time, it can be so confusing because we wonder, how are we going to keep up with all of this? Are we going to be able to keep up with it? And then we start getting anxious, and then we get concerned, we get afraid, and then we start backing away. And the key with life is to take each day as it comes, to take each moment of opportunity to grow and learn and expand as you can. I want to share with you an experience that I had just the day before the women's show began. And this would have been last Thursday. And this was something that just showed me a synchronicity in life and also how keeping your cool and not being judgmental can prove to be a very positive asset. I have a classic vehicle that I have been driving for a number of years, and I just love my lady. That's what I call her. She is my very special lady. She's a Cadillac Brougham, and she is just a magnificent automobile. Well, as it turned out, I had packed up everything and had left the women's show because you have the day before the event where you get everything ready and done. I was almost home. I was about, I'd say about 20 minutes away from reaching home when I had someone, while I'm on the freeway traveling at 60-plus miles an hour, a woman saying to me, and she's on my left side, she's tooting her horn, and I thought, who is that woman tooting? Well, she pulls up alongside of me and motions, and again, she's on the passenger side, flat tire, flat tire. Well, whenever you find out about something like that and you're going at a particularly heavy pace, your heart sort of stops in a way, and you go, oh, my goodness. Well, I thought it was the front tire on the passenger side of the vehicle. Lo and behold, traffic starts slowing down. In front of me is a major accident. There was no place I could pull off on the freeway. So I kept on moving. On the left side of me, I must have had at least 5 or 6 people in vehicles letting me know that I had a flat tire, and this was on the driver's side of the vehicle. And I kept my window down because these people were very, very concerned, very thoughtful, anxious people, because I am on this heavily packed freeway. And if my tire completely blows out, I'm going to create a major mess. So they were warning me, tire's flat. Finally, I get past the accident because I had no way of pulling over to the right side of the road. I was going south on the freeway. All of a sudden, get past the accident, ba-boom, the tire explodes. Fortunately for me, there was no one on the right side or in the right lane. I was able to get the car over to the roadside, and when I finally was able to stop it, and my vehicle is a big vehicle, and I thought, oh, goodness gracious, I could end up losing control, but that didn't happen. The car moved over, and bingo, I stopped, everything harmonized, everything worked well, and I was about an inch and a half when I got out of the car, which was a very dangerous thing to do, because traffic was quite heavy. Again, I watched the traffic, realized that I had a little bit of a window of time, managed to open up the door when there wasn't any car whizzing by me, and got out, had about 10 seconds to look at my tire, and it was in total shreds. So I have no cell phone with me. I had left it at home. Don't you just love it when you're efficient? So I had left it at home, and I think, what am I going to do? Because there wasn't anything, I was not close enough to an off-ramp to be able to walk to a phone, and I turn around and I look, and there's a vehicle that is a couple hundred feet away from me, and I go, I'm going to go walk over there. What have I got to lose? Well, working on a truck was an older man, and then this young man was assisting him. They had a toolbox out. They had an old truck, and they were having some problems, and that's why they were on the side of the road. So I walk over there, and I find that the young man that is standing there looks like something out of a nightmarish punk rocker magazine. I am not kidding. This young man, and he had to have been in his 20s, had pieces of metal sticking out of his lip, his chin, don't ask me how it got there, and the crease there that would be on the inside. Anyway, he had that. He had pieces of metal sticking out of his face in all kinds of locations. And I looked at him, and immediately my mind went, whoo, what have we got here? So I had to suspend judgment. The older gentleman didn't say a word to me, nothing. But this young man, I walked up to him, and he asked me if he could help me. And I said, yes, I need to know if you have a cell phone that I can use. I need to call AAA. And he said, oh, sure, what happened to your vehicle? This was one of the nicest, though he was the freakiest looking thing I'd ever seen in a long while. He was one of the nicest people that you could ever want to have cross your path. He gave me a cell phone. He offered to change my front tire. And I said, that is life-threatening. I don't want you to even consider doing it. I said, I'll call AAA. Well, because I didn't have a number to give them back, and this young man and the older gentleman, who again wasn't saying a word to me, the young man was the one interacting with me. I used his phone, and I had to laugh because it was one brand-new phone with all bells and whistles that I've never encountered before. So he showed me how to use it, made my call. They said, we'll have somebody out in 15 minutes. While I'm standing out there, it's very, very cold. The wind is whipping everything around with a frenzy and a fury because it was that kind of a blustery, winterish-like day. This young man said to me, can I please assist you? Would you like to go with us? We'll take you to an auto shop where maybe you can get some help there. This young man did everything he possibly could to try to assist me. And I thanked him. I said, no, the AAA is going to be here. Thank you for the use of your phone. Have a wonderful day. And I went back to my car, get in the passenger side because it wasn't safe. Traffic was very, very heavy. It wasn't safe to go into the driver's side. In 15 minutes, AAA was there. But between the time I walked back from the vehicle, the truck, and eventually they were gone. They just were gone. It was almost as if they were there just in perfect timing for me, for them to take care of their business, for me to make a phone call, and then off they went. Then I find a gentleman, an Afro-American. He stops, and he asks me, can I assist you? And I thanked him, and I said, no, I've got the AAA. He was very gracious. He stopped. He had pulled over to the side of the road. He had seen me walking back from the truck. He had been very concerned. Thoughtful person number two. Then the AAA arrives. Believe it or not, it was there in 15 minutes, just like they had promised. And the driver of the big, big tow truck that was there said to me, he's putting on his vest, fluorescent vest. He was going to change my tire. I said, can we make something a little different here? I'm concerned about your safety. I don't want you changing the tire. I know of a facility where I just got all four of my tires, which were brand new, almost brand new. And I said, if you can tow me there, it was just two exits away, I said, I'll be able to take care of that. The young man, he said, I would be happy to do that. His face was so relieved that I didn't ask him to change the tire because it was in, again, a very dangerous spot. My car, my beautiful lady, my classic lady is loaded up. We go down to the tire place, and as luck would have it, when I had purchased those tires, there was a warranty on them, and I was able to get labor and everything else free, and I was an hour and a half later on my way, get into studio here on Thursday, 7 minutes before we started the broadcast. And I looked at all of the synchronicity of everything that went along there, the nice people that were willing to assist me, the efficiency of a person working and in cooperating with me, the courtesy, the graciousness of each one of these people, the way the problems were resolved by individuals that knew far better what to do about certain things than I would. All of this, and I'm sharing it with you, to let you know that there is something that we need to be aware of, and that is that we cannot always know everything. We can't. There's no way we can. So when we ask for help when we need it, most of the time people are going to be very gracious and courteous. I was a perfect stranger. They didn't have to do anything to help me in any way, shape, or form. The young man could have been totally obnoxious and ignored me or said, no, I don't have a cell phone. All kinds of things could have happened. But instead, it was a demonstration to me, one, about being in the right place at the right time and the synchronicity that there is a rhythm in life. And sometimes things happen, but there are always good people that are willing to help because people made a point of wanting to assist. Also, when it comes to certain technicalities, you have to utilize the services of people that know more than you do. It's very important. But I wanted to share that personal experience with you because I like to think it inspired me and it made me aware of how interdependent we are in life. Again, we can never know it all. So if you need help, don't be afraid to ask for it. If someone says, I'm sorry, I can't do it for you, be grateful that they were even open to listening to it and move on and ask for help in another way. But know really that there's a lot of good people on this planet and they're out there and they want to help you any opportunity that they can. So don't ever give up on the human being because they really do exist. A lot of little angels were out there assisting me in a very, very uncomfortable and actually a very dangerous location. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Okay, let me give you a brief rundown of the guests that we have coming up this week. We're going to be talking about quantum activism, how it can save civilization. Amit Goswami is a gentleman that I had on last year, and there was a movie that he had put together along with some other people regarding how important it was for us to be mindfully present about what we could do to turn things around. And boy, when you listen to the news, we all are going to have a significant impact on how this planet becomes better, but we do have to be willing, again, to be mindfully present. So this book, Quantum Activism, I think you'll find very interesting. And then Robert H. Barton. We're going to be talking about a book that his wife wrote back in the 70s. The book was titled A Good Day to Die. Now, this is a true story. His wife, Del, wrote this book, and
I'm just so thrilled that I was even able to get a copy of it. It's going to be available as an ebook, but it's a true story about the Dakota Sioux. This is a group of people that literally were wiped out by early Americans that were conquering the lands and going across the United States. And the story is absolutely amazing and powerfully done. And Dell's, I believe it was, her grandfather. He lived to be 107 years old. So we're going to be hearing about Gray Wolf, Crazy Horse, and a lot more. I hope you'll join us. And then we are going to be talking about making friends around the world. Ken Roshan is a fascinating man. This is a man who is a world traveler. He has put out the first book for children to help them become aware of different languages. Of course, learning language of any culture is best attained when you can do it when you're young. Well, he has done something that I've never seen anybody else do, and he's also a master at networking. So we're going to be talking about both of those perspectives on Thursday, and then Naheed Sewell is going to be my guest on Friday. We're going to be talking about the Muslim world on Friday and her phenomenal publication, The Ruby Tear Catcher. Oh, this is something that's really going to grab you. Great people, wonderful topics, and I invite you to join us so that you can, and tell your friends, by the way, so that you can hear about it too. I mean, these people really have some wonderful things to share. Do you believe that a ghost can help you discover what you need to discover? Do you think that someone from the other side of life can speak to you and guide you? Well, there was a man who was able to experience exactly that, and I want to share that story with you because it is a true story and was written up. Now, this is about H.O. Blankenship. This is a man when the gold rush was going on near Good Hope Bay. It was about 300 miles north of Nome, Alaska. Yes, yes, yes. It's Alaska again. These stories are absolutely wonderful. And I want to say that Ed Farrell is the man that has collected so many of these stories about a part of the world that I just absolutely in love with. Alaska is just an incredible place. But this man's story, it's really quite fascinating. He had been one of the historical discoverers of gold on Candle Creek, which is a tributary to Kiwalik. And the story, well, it sounds like it would come out of a novel, but it's really true. He had been in Alaska for 4 years, made stakes, but he just didn't think that he was going to find a whole bunch. However, he went to a psychic whose name was Mrs. Nagel. She directed him to three different places, one of which was on the Kilwillick, where he made a strike. And on June the 9th, he was on a dory that was about 20 feet in length and went to Cape Prince of Wales. And on June 27th, the point that he was wanting to arrive at, he reached, and he did his journey all by himself. But he said to people later, he never felt alone. Why? Because his deceased father-in-law was with him and helped him steer his boat through narrow channels of floating, grinding, extremely treacherous ice. And he said, when I left Nome, the ice was right on the shoreline. It extended in many places several miles into the Bering Sea, and we kept up pretty well, sometimes encountering ice, which we steered through without mishap. And he said, I left the Cape on June 27th and didn't reach the mouth of the Kugrick River until July. I encountered a lot of ice, was carried by currents 30 or 40 miles out to sea. And he said, then I realized I was drifting out into the Arctic Ocean, and there was a whale that came up right near my boat. And he said, I knew by steering in an easterly direction I'd reach land, but my sails were of little value because there was no wind. Now, he said, you really had to stay alert because of the floating ice. It can destroy a ship, a boat, very, very quickly. And he said it was so easy to get into a dangerous situation. Now, he said, when I was in this very dangerous cycle, that's when my father-in-law
was right there with me. He'd sit in the bow of the boat and by the motion of his hand would direct me through dangerous, dangerous places. And he said, I was able to make my journey because my father-in-law helped me get to where I needed to be. He said, I arrived at Candle Creek on July 26th, and he said, you know what? I met some people that were willing to give up on their claim. He said, I took it over, and that's where I found my gold. But it was all due to his father-in-law. This is Donna Sebo. I know we're out of time. Remember, always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a wonderful day. We'll be back here, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.